Position breakdowns continue on the Best in Class podcast featuring JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and catch up. If you've missed the other position breakdowns, Best in Class can be found at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, JoeBucksFan.com, other platforms. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. We are jumping into wide receivers, one of my absolute favorite breakdowns. So strap in. We're going to go fast. We have a lot of receivers to get to. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor, and that's Bill Curry Ford, the third-generation family-owned business that serves Tampa. On all of your auto needs, from Ford to all makes and models and service to free pickup and delivery and mobile service, we are in it to win it. Don't worry, drive Curry. And right now, we have employee pricing. Prices are lower than pre-tariff prices. So right now, you can buy a car and trade a car at better deals and better pricing than you could prior to the tariffs. Not only that, besides employee pricing, you get no payments for 3 months, and you're getting lowest special interest rates because we just cut interest rates again. As you know, interest rates are going down for mortgages and for cars. We're getting back to pre-inflation interest rates. Our special rates are coming down because they're based on prime. You're going to get the best interest rates. We're going to get the best price, and you're going to get the payments deferred, and you're going to get free pickup and delivery and mobile service. So we have everything going on right now. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com 24 hours a day. Also follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all your different social media sites. You guys know all of them. And I'm very excited. I'm very happy with the reviews I'm getting. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for the reviews on Apple. Thank you for the comments on Joe Bucks Fan. I'm very privileged to do the podcast. It is a passion of mine. I did go to the combine this year. I did get a chance to meet all of these wide receivers, the majority of what we're going to go through, including Travis Hunter, which we're going to talk about. These are outstanding young men. I really enjoyed getting this aspect of doing the draft combine, doing my draft podcast. It's really exciting time right now. We're getting closer to the draft. Christmas is almost here. We have the Joe Bucks Fan podcast coming up very soon. Super excited for our mock and going over who we think that Tampa's going to select at 19. But again, tonight and today, it's all about wide receivers. So I hope you guys are ready. Let's go. The best 30 minutes in NFL podcasting is about to begin. We're going to start with Travis Hunter. He was my number one corner. He's also my number one wide receiver. 6'1", 185, 4'4", 40. Last year, he had 96 receptions for 1,258 yards. He had 15 receiving TDs. He has the best hands in the draft, bar none. He's like a plastic man out there. He just did an interview. No, when he was at the combine, he did an interview, and I got a chance to interview him. And one of the things that he was very adamant about was playing defense and offense in the NFL. And he made it very clear. But yesterday, he made it very clear that he would not play if he was drafted by a team that would not let him play both sides. He made it very clear. And he said, I would rather not play football. And remember, this guy got a ton of NIL money. This is a rich kid already. He's rich. He's set, right? He said he would not play unless he plays both sides. And right now, if I'm an NFL team, these people are insane if they think he can't play both sides. I think he's the best wide receiver and the best corner in the draft. I think wide receiver, he's more talented. I think that he is Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase level wide receiver. His hands, his breakaway ability, his route running, the fact he does not drop balls. He's a red zone, an amazing red zone target. This is what a lot of the NFL pundits have to say about him as a wide receiver. And by the way, Chris Sims at his podcast is another guy. When I was in Indianapolis, Chris Sims did a podcast with Lee and Steve, and I was on the podcast. And I got to talk to Chris about his thoughts on several wide receivers. This was one of them. We talked about Matthew Golden, which we'll get to that in a second, because obviously Chris is a Texas boy. He loves Travis Hunter, thinks he's going to be a star. Some of the things that you need to know about him is his body control is unbelievable. He's like a plastic man out there. The way he moves his body, and it's unbelievably. He routinely gets open with ease. He makes spectacular catches. He has amazing spatial awareness in zone. He finds the soft spots. He creates immediate separation off the line. Because he plays defense, he knows all of the routes offensively, and he runs them to absolute perfection. His hand-eye coordination is probably going to be the best in the NFL. If he can stay healthy, Travis Hunter is going to be a massive star in the NFL. Make no mistake. He only had 3 drops in his Colorado career. 3. And that's with him getting punished over the middle, him getting hit out of bounds. I mean, this is a guy that took a beating and came back. Now, remember, I already talked a lot about Travis Hunter on the Cornerback podcast. You guys can go back into the library and listen to that podcast. It's really good. We have some really good corners this year. But Travis Hunter is a unique generational talent. I'm looking forward to watching him play. But moving on, we have our next guy, and he's called T-Mac, and he is out of Arizona, and that's Tetairoa McMillan. 6'4", 219, ran a 4.5 40, had 84 receptions for 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns. He has amazing versatility. He can play both X and power slot. He gets open with ease, has terrific route running prowess. He excels on whip routes, crossers, and cuts into the middle, demonstrates elite ball tracking ability and timing on deep throws, and consistently wins contested catches with excellent body control. Now, saying all of that about T-Mac, this is a gentleman who's been in that, his average draft position is 11. That's how high he is. But I've seen some draft mock drafts that have him dropping down to even the Bucks area, where the Bucks could draft T-Mac at number 19. And I saw a Joe Bucks fan article where we would shock the world, right, if we drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Let me just put it to you this way. T-Mac has been compared to Mike Evans because of their size and their speed. Let me just tell you, Mike Evans is faster than T-Mac. He's a better wide receiver, and he's more physical than T-Mac. To me, the only comparison is they both play wide receiver, and they're both tall and well-built at the 220 range. Other than that, I think the comparisons stop. Other than his ability to high-point the ball, he uses his height and his long arms extremely well. They're both tremendous red zone targets. I think T-Mac is going to have a lot of touchdowns his rookie year. I love his hands. He doesn't drop balls. All those things are good. The thing with T-Mac, he's not like Mike Evans, who gets open against professional cornerbacks like Mike Evans. Mike Evans is special. He can use power. He can use speed. He's extremely intelligent on that field. And, you know, obviously we don't know what T-Mac is going to be, but in college, he adjusts to the ball well, high points the ball well. He catches everything in the red zone. He can beat smaller corners with ease for sure. The NFL is a different game. I love his game. I think he's going to be a star in the NFL. I do like, if you go into last year's draft to make a comparison, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr. were all better prospects to me than T-Mac when I watched his film. But I think this guy's a really solid wide receiver. I wouldn't start talking about him as a Mike Evans prospect at this point, but I think he's going to be good. And I think that he's probably going to go higher than we think. In the draft, he might, instead of like in that 20 range, he might go in the 10 range. We'll see, because Travis Hunter is going to go in the top 3. Don't get me wrong. I like him a lot. A lot. That's why I have a number 2 in this draft. But comparatively speaking, 6 wide receivers were drafted in the first round last year. 6. Don't forget about Xavier Leggett, who went to Carolina. And of course, one of the leader and rookies who played for the San Diego Chargers out of Georgia. So if you think about all the things that were going on, I don't know if this you're going to have that level of production in this year's draft. Everybody says, well, Sean, there's not a lot of top wide receiver stars. Listen, the depth in this class is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. I think that you just have a lot of guys that are going to be on the even playing field where you're looking at these guys going, okay, all of these guys are in this bucket, all of these guys are in this bucket, all of these guys are in the same bucket. And that's what you're going to see in the podcast today. A lot of these guys are going to be in the same rounds, where last year you had, you know, franchise difference-making wide receivers. And I don't see that very much this year, but what you do have is a lot of starters. There's a lot of starters in the wide receiver class this year. Okay, so I said his average draft position was 11. My next guy is Matthew Golden, out of Texas, 5'11", 191 pounds, ran a 4.29, had 58 receptions, 987 yards, 9 receiving touchdowns. This guy is explosive. He's a playmaker, has amazing vision. He's an excellent kick returner. With the new kick returner rules, there's this 35-yard line. Ira talked about this in the last podcast. These new rules are encouraging now for NFL teams to have kick returners again. And and you're going to obviously punt returners, but you're going to have kick returners again. Matthew Golden is going to be a starting wide receiver and probably a starting special teams player as well. He's a nasty route runner. He's unbelievable when he does that break. He does this thing where he stops and starts, and he breaks away with that speed. Amazing quickness on the inside. I'm going to go through some of his drills in a second. His special teams value is off out of this world. He had 2 touchdown returns in 23. He averaged over 31 yards per return. He can take it to the house every time he touches the ball. Matthew Golden is a star. I talked to Chris Sims about him. He's very high on him as well. And he has a comparable wide receiver that's going to be drafted a little bit lower. And we're going to talk about one of the sneaky guys that I think is the same talent level as Matthew Golden. But Matthew Golden has the bigger name playing at Texas and in the SEC. Now, his RAS score, he didn't perform in all of the scores to get an overall score. But I want you to think about this for a second. His 40-yard dash at 4.29 was elite. It was at the top of the wide receiver class. His 20-yard split at 2.49, top of the class. 10-yard split at 1.47 was number one. So we're talking about a guy with amazing burst, amazing east to west, change of direction, can get down the field. And from what I understand, Matthew Golden would fit into exactly what Grizzard was talking about, was he wanted a receiver that can really stretch the field. Now, where do you draft a guy in the first round to play? If you have Evans and Godwin and McMillan, you know, already on your team, and you have to have the tight ends catch a couple of balls in this, right? Do you draft a guy at 19? Let's just say Matthew Golden's there at 19. You draft him, you put him on the field. Are you saying that he's going to play the fourth wide receiver spot? Does he take over McMillan, who had 8 receiving touchdowns in the last half of last year and showed that he could be a starter in the NFL? I'm not quite sure. Where does he fit in with Palmer? With Trey Palmer, with similar speed. You know, that's a very interesting thing. And Rakeem Jarrett, with like The Rock, he was getting some playing time also. I think we're very deep at wide receiver, even though you heard Jason Light and Todd Bowles talk about adding a receiver. I think they will add one. I just don't know if it's going to be this high. And he would shock the world. But let me make no mistake, you get a Matthew Golden on this team at 19 and they end up going with him. He's a difference maker. They're going all in on offense. Right? I mean, that's basically what it's going to be because our defense still needs a lot of help. Oh, by the way, his average draft position is 20 in the first round. The Bucs pick at 19, and he had a formal visit with the Buccaneers, which could be twofold. They could have brought him in and talked to him, obviously, about his talent and about him as a wide receiver, but then also maybe they were talking about Jahdae Barron. Maybe they were talking about some other defensive line prospects that are amazing at Texas. I don't know. Maybe they were getting some insight on the team as a whole. Moving on, my next receiver is Lee DeKemper's guy. I'm sure you guys have heard his podcast enough. This is the gentleman, this is the Chris Godwin clone out of Ohio State. And we're going to talk about his name. I call him Amika because his last name is Ibuka. It's a very difficult name for me to say, so I'm just going to call him Amika. 6'1", 202, Ohio State, ran a 4.45, 81 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 10 TDs, 12.5 yards per reception. He has a rare combination of elite long speed and technical route running. Very smart player. He really puts a lot of pressure on defenses. Natural hands, just like Godwin, who very rarely drops, other than that one playoff game, very rarely drops any balls. He likes to catch the ball away from his frame, which is super important. Tracks the ball very well on vertical routes. He's a technician off the line of scrimmage. He's a guy that you just plug and play. Amika is a guy that just is going to start from day one at the second wide receiver. I don't think he's going to be a number one right away in the NFL. I think he's just a guy, let's just say he slides in and starts taking snaps right away. He's just going to be a dependable guy and a wide receiver for his quarterback. I like him a lot. That's why he's my fourth wide receiver. Let's talk about his RAS score of 9.72, which is unbelievably outstanding. His hand size, just under 10 inches, 31.5-inch arms. Let's talk about his explosion grade. So his vertical at 38 puts him in the top echelon of elite. 40-yard dash at 4.48 is great, but his 20-yard split at 2.57, 10-yard split at 1.50 was amazing. Those are elite grades. And then at 4.12 shuttle puts him in an above-average grade. So his overall RAS score at 9.72 is phenomenal out of 10. His average draft position, again, is 20, right where the Bucks are. So according to this draft simulator, which a lot of pundits use, we're talking about tens of thousands and thousands and thousands of drafts have done by AI computers, and these players fall into these average draft positions. And right now you have Matthew Golden, Amika, and T-Mac all could be there when the Bucks pick, if you can believe that, at 19. There could be a top 10 player that falls because of how this draft is. When I go through the mock draft, guys, out of all the drafts I've ever done, this is the most unsettling first round that I can remember. You don't have a run on quarterbacks at the top of the draft. You don't have a run on wide receivers at the top of the draft. It's just very difficult to figure this out because of what the team needs are going to be and where it's going to fall. One move like Shedeur Sanders going to the Cleveland Browns at number 2 shakes up the entire draft for the next like 15 picks. The Bucks are just in such a great position. They're going to get an amazing player at 19. All right, our next guy is going to be Luther Burden III out of Missouri. So he's a 6-foot guy, 206 pounds, 4.41, had 61 catches, 676 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Unbelievable explosive first step off the line. Very twitchy, rangy guy. Has natural hands, plucks the ball away. He finished with an incredible 85.9 catch rate despite all the targets. So think about it. It's not just the fact that he catches at an 85.9 catch rate. It's the amount of throws that went to him, which is amazing. His RAS score, he didn't have enough to complete his entire RAS score, but his 40-yard dash was elite. His 20-yard split at 2.58 was elite. His 10-yard split at 1.55 was elite. So that should just tell you that his score would have been extremely high. His average draft is the first round. He's been all over the first round, but they have him in the first round. Now, here's my problem with Luther Burden for me. I don't particularly like his routes. He rounds off a lot of his routes. I think he's a little bit lazy on some of his routes, which drives me a little bit crazy. When he's not getting the ball, he seems to be a little bit of a diva. We saw some of that at the combine. And then my problem is when we're talking about the guys I just talked about above, in every game you're watching, those guys don't disappear in the game. Now, this could be quarterback play. This could be offense. There's a lot of factors to this. But as a guy who's an amateur scout like myself, and I watch a lot of tape, when I'm watching a game, he disappears. To be a guy that's a first-round draft pick and a dominant wide receiver, to me, I would think that he would be involved in the game for 4 quarters. And I feel like when he didn't get the ball early in games, it was almost like he took plays off or like wasn't going to give it a full effort. Now, this is my opinion. This is just what I saw. When he's on, I know Steve Itzbitz likes him. When he's on, he's on. He's dominant. There is no question the talent that Luther Burden has. I just think he hasn't put it all together yet, and maybe he does that at the next level with proper coaching. The next guy is my sleeper, okay? This is a guy that the Bucks brought in. I couldn't believe the Bucks brought him in because they normally don't do that. They normally don't bring these kinds of wide receivers in. This is a guy that I talked to Chris Sims about. Chris Sims is all over him. Thinks he's up there with the Travis Hunter in this draft. Like, that's the level that Chris Sims thinks that this gentleman is at. I've heard other pundits talk about him being a definite first-round draft pick. Here's a guy that overall is probably going to be a second-round draft pick. I don't think that he makes it, but he has the talent. And that's Jalen Knoll out of Iowa State. 5'10", 194 pounds, ran a 4.3940, had 80 catches for 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns, averaged 15 yards a carry. I'm going to spend a couple minutes on this guy because I think this guy's super special, and I'm interested in the fact that the Bucks actually talked to him. It was very interesting to me. He runs incredible routes. It's unbelievable the way and then his start-stop, very similar to Matthew Golden. This is my comparison, is that Jalen Knoll is an equivalent wide receiver to me as Golden is. Golden is going to go much higher, but I think you can get the same value in Jalen. Routes have purpose and deception at every phase. He uses his eyes, shoulders, and pacing to manipulate coverage and create windows. He thrives in intermediate game with advanced understanding of finding soft spots and zones. He accelerates like he's got afterburners. If you guys want to watch some fun film, go to YouTube and watch Jalen Knoll. It's the way he runs away from defensive backs. You're like, are they even moving? The guy has a burst. So he can win in the slot. He can play outside. And I love, love, love that he can play all these positions as a wide receiver. His precision at running routes is unbelievable. His hands are terrific. I don't believe that they're 100% like Like Luther Burden, again, had one of the highest catchy rates. T-Mac has incredible hands. I think he has natural hands. I don't think they're elite hands. But his special teams value, he averaged 15.3 yards per punt return, and he has returned punts and kicks for touchdowns. So, again, when you have Jalen Knoll, who has this speed and ability, this is a guy that Bucks could get, let's just say, in the second round. They would steal him at 53, because that's where the Bucks pick at 53. Let's just say that happens, okay? And he comes on board, and he fills in and gets some time. If Godwin's going to be delayed coming back, he's going to be able to get some playing time early, and that he's going to also be a contributor on special teams, where I think he would be a star as well. Let's talk about his RAS score. It's only 9.75. Unbelievable RAS score. His hand size is 9s. His arm length is just under 30 inches. Again, his bench press. I want you to think about what I said about his height. He's 5'10", 184, which is not a big wide receiver. He's super thick, though. He reminds me of Anquan Boldin in that way, where his body is very similar. It's very athletic. Like, he really holds his weight well. He bench pressed 225 23 times, by the way. That was the best at the wide receiver group. That's elite. His vertical at 41.50 was the best vertical. That's elite. Broad jump at 11 was 9.91 elite. Puts him in the top tier of all wide receivers. His 40-yard dash, elite. 20-yard split at 2.55, elite. 10-yard split at 1.52, elite. His shuttle at 4.17, elite. His three-cone at 6.82 was above average. Again, a 9.75 out of 10. This is not an opinion. This is just math. They put all of these scores in, and they rate the player on athletic profile. It's an amazing process. This guy talked to the Bucks. The Bucks are probably looking at special teams with the new kickoff return rules. His average draft position is in the middle of the second round. The Bucks draft 53. This is a guy that I think if the Bucks could get in the second round, changes our offense and gives Grizzard that fast receiver down the field, changes our special teams as well. Ira said in the last podcast, I don't want Trey Palmer returning kicks and punts. Okay, well, Jalen Knoll would be a better choice. You know, and so would Matthew Golden, obviously. But I think you're getting better value with Jalen in the second round than you would with Matthew at 19 in the first round. My next wide receiver, Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State, 6'4", 214, ran a 4.47 40, 87 receptions, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, amazing production, right? 13.6 receiving yards per catch. He exhibits exceptional body control, route tempo manipulation, consistently creates separation with subtle head fakes, shoulder dips, extremely well coached, boasts vacuum-like hands and outstanding ball tracking ability. His remarkable, when I say remarkable, 93.1 hands grade and 350 targets in his career as a wide receiver, he only dropped 3. That's a pretty amazing. This guy has hands. He's got a lot. A lot of guys have talked about him getting into the first round because of his size and speed. His RAS score at 9.63, 9-inch hands, 33-inch arms. Again, he didn't do a bench at the combine. His vertical at 39 was 9.31, which is elite. His broad at 10 feet, 9.26 was elite. 40-yard dash, we talked about it, 4.47. His 20-yard split was where he was a little bit slower, and he was average at 6.84, but his 10-yard split, he was elite at 1.54, at 8.67 elite grade. His shuttle was average at 4.28, and his three cone at 7 was average at 5.53. So, again, 9.63 RAS score. Average draft position was 48, which would be before the Bucks got in the second round. But here's a guy that might sneak into the first round. A lot of guys like Jaden Higgins. I personally, I know that he's extremely well-liked because of his size and his hands. I get that. The fact that he's, you know, 6'4". Again, plays into what a lot of teams are going to be looking for with size. I personally just like Jaden Knoll better as a wide receiver. Doesn't mean that Jaden Higgins wouldn't be on my team. I'm okay with the Bucs taking either one. I think Knoll gives us a better special teams play. At number 8, we're going with Trey Harris out of Ole Miss. 6'2 wide receiver, 205 pounds. He ran a 4.54 40, 60 receptions, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, and a whopping 17 yards per catch. He's masterful at the catch point, displays exceptional body control and timing to the box. He has natural hands who plucks the ball away from his frame. doesn't allow the ball to get into his into his pads. He catches the ball out, has extremely powerful hands, rarely allows even to get to his body. We talked about his blocking. His blocking is elite. He's an elite ball tracker, physical monster in the red zone. This is a guy that dominates in the red zone, and I think that's a really interesting part. His RAS score at 9.23. I think the part that's exceptional is the vertical at 38.50 was really great. His broad jump at 10, again, was exceptional. He struggled in the 20-yard and the 10-yard split, and he didn't do any of the other three-cone. So basically, he's a north and south guy. His overall top-end speed is not going to be elite, or this guy would be a much higher wide receiver. Right now, his average draft position is in the top of the second round, and we'll see how that goes. When I watched him on tape, I wasn't blown away by him. I was like, okay, I can see why teams are interested in him, but there wasn't anything besides his red zone. His red zone play is exceptional. He does have very, very strong hands. So I liked all of those things. But to me, he looks like a second wide receiver in the NFL. He doesn't look like a starter, like a wide receiver one. He looks like a complement wide receiver. This next guy was so – I wanted to put him higher. I couldn't get him higher on my list. But every time I watched the guy, I loved him. And that's Jack Besh out of TCU. 6'1". 214 pounds, 4.5 40, 62 receptions for 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns, 17 yards per reception. This guy was a star at the Senior Bowl. He's a fan favorite. He was a locker room guy. Everybody loves this guy. He catches everything that's thrown anywhere near him. He looks to me like a tight end, you know, playing wide receiver because that's how he's built. He absolutely is a terrific blocker. He has terrific body position. He blocks out defenders like a basketball player. He runs with anger. One of my favorite things that they could ever say is when someone has controlled violence. That's one of my favorite, absolute favorite sayings. He has a great understanding of soft spots and zone coverage. This guy finds a place to sit down. To me, this reminds me of somebody that Harbaugh in San Diego is going to be very interested in. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers made a move on him just because he fits in what Harbaugh tries to do. Exceptional ball tracking on deep throws, creates late separation, reliable chain mover. You can throw the ball to him on third down. He's going to catch it. His RAS score, here's a guy that they said at the Senior Bowl, and they were like, at the Combine, we don't know what to expect out of this guy. And then all he does is have a 9.51 RAS score. Okay, so all he does is he had a 10-foot broad jump, which is terrific. His shuttle was 4.21, which was okay. His three-cone at 6.84 was above average, his weight above average for his size, and then his bench press at 19 showed his strength, and that was elite. This is really interesting, is that Jack Besh had a formal interview with the Bucks. Here's, to me, a guy, you just put him on your team and forget about it. He's a guy that's going to play 10 years in the league. I think that he's going to be a fan favorite. I think he's going to be a great locker room guy. I absolutely love him as a blocker, as a wide receiver, as a red zone target, and a third down guy. It was really hard for me to keep him where he is at 9 on my list. Moving on, Jalen Royals out of Utah State, 6-foot wide receiver, 205 pounds, ran a 4.42, 55 receptions, 834 yards, 6 touchdowns, and he averaged 15 yards per catch. This guy has unbelievable straight line speed. He stresses corners right off the line of scrimmage. He has natural hands. He does a really good job of catching away from his body. He has a basketball background, which really shows up when he has a terrific vertical. He can actually high point the ball even with his height. He has terrific change of direction. His short area speed is very good. His RAS score is a 9 out of 10. So his vertical and his broad were below average. His weight at 205 is below average. He didn't have a terrific bench, but this is where he excelled. 40-yard dash at 4.42 was elite. 20-yard split at 2.56, elite. 10-yard split at 1.53 was elite. His three-cone was average at 6.94, and his shuttle was average at 4.25. So again, here Jalen Royals, to me, is a second wide receiver in the NFL. I think he gives you some special teams play, and I think he's just a solid player, but I don't think he's a spectacular player. At number 11, here's Alec Alamona out of Stanford. This is a guy that Bucks brought in for a visit. I believe that Joe Bucks fan wrote an article about him. Listen, I'm not going to pronounce his name wrong. Don't send me any emails at bestinclass@BillCurryFord. Don't want to hear it. It's not going to happen. I listen to it in my ear. I still can't pronounce it correctly, so it makes no difference to me. I struggle on some of these three and four vowel, like when there's vowels going together and consonants, when there's three or four consonants in a row, and there's like five syllables in a name, it's just not easy for me. So Alec is a polished route runner who dominates in intermediate range, masterful varying tempo, legitimate vertical threat with impressive speed, consistently stacking corners on go routes. So here's a guy with an average draft position in the third round. He doesn't have a RAS score. He did run a 4.4, again, 40. The Bucks sat down with him because this is a guy, third, fourth round guy that makes the team and is a solid contributor as that third or fourth wide receiver. Here's a guy that I think is a terrific locker room guy. I put notes in here. I got a chance to see some interviews with him where he really represented himself well. So that was really good. The next guy is one of the guys that's really high on Chris Sims' board. I think Chris Sims has this guy third overall as his wide receivers. And that's Kyle Williams out of Washington State, 5'11", 190, ran a 4.4 40, had 70 receptions for 1,200 yards and 14 TDs. Red zone beast, and had 17 yards per carry. Unbelievably explosive off the line. Quick twitch work. Keeps corners guessing. He wins at the line with sudden movements. Quick bursts. Has long speed. Can track the ball in the air. He adjusts really well to the ball. After he catches the ball, he's extremely smooth. Accelerates. Has yards after catch. He's a guy that took had a lot of like screens, bubble screens, wide receiver screens at Washington State, where he took them for heavy chunk plays, which made up a lot of his yardage. His RAS score at 6.35. One of the things, his height and weight, he's a smallish wide receiver, right? So his height at 5'10 and 190, he's on the poor side of athletic testing. His 40-yard dash is good. Everything else is below average. My problem with Kyle Williams is not the fact that he's not explosive. Yards after catch, unbelievable. Off the line of scrimmage, terrific. Great route running. A little on the smaller side, yes. That's why he wouldn't be, for me, a first-round draft pick. But here's the thing. He does drop footballs. My thing is, watching a guy on third down drop a ball, I think, defeats the team. Kyle Williams needs to work on his hands. He has those occasional drops. He reminds me of Santonio Holmes, who used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He would get open, wide open, and then drop the ball. It would drive me insane. And then all of a sudden, he'd make these amazing catches when the defenders are draped all over him. That's kind of like what Kyle Williams gets. He's inconsistent hands, and that drives me crazy. Other than that, his talent is off the charts. Right now, he's rated as an end of the second round, top of the third round guy. Again, some people have this guy a lot higher. My problem is I'm not going to rate a guy higher until I know his hands are better. My next guy is Savion Williams, the former quarterback out of TCU. 6'4", great height, 222, 4.48, 40, had 60 receptions for 611 yards, 6 TDs. He's just learning how to be a wide receiver. This is a raw player. You're going to have to develop him. The good news about Savion is he can throw the ball, so he has that dual threat where is he going to run the ball, is he going to catch the ball, is he going to throw the ball, kind of like a Jason Hill that does for New Orleans. He made Bruce Feldman's freak list. He hit the 10-6 on the broad jump, posted a 40-inch vertical. In 2022, he had 29 receptions for 392 and 4 touchdowns. He has incredible arm strength. He can throw it farther than all the other TCU quarterbacks. He threw it about 20 yards further, actually. He can throw over 80 yards. He shows surprising wiggle for a big man, distributing spatial awareness and lateral quickness. For me, drops too many balls for me. He doesn't have natural hands. It's almost like he's forcing the catches, but he does get open. His body, athletically, he does have a wide receiver look to him. I mean, this is a guy that you're just going to have to develop. He could develop into something, or he could be just a gadget player like Jason Hill. His average draft position is 86, which is in the third round. Our next guy is Ty Felton out of Maryland. Ty Felton, 6'1", 183 pounds, ran a 4.37 40. That's amazing. 96 receptions, 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns, 11 yards per catch. Elite time is unbelievable. That 4.37 showed, that speed showed on tape. Gets right off the line of scrimmage, he's open. Really knows how to fake the corners out. He does a lot of head fakes, shoulder fakes. In man coverage, I don't think you want to cover Felton in man coverage. He displays exceptional awareness working the sideline, routinely gets both feet down. One of the things that I'm not thrilled with him is, to me, he's a one-trick pony at this point in his career, and we'll see how he develops at the next level. He had a RAS score of 9.20, which is excellent. 9-inch hands, 30-inch arms. His height at 6 foot was below average. His weight at 183 was below average. His bench at only 12 was below average. Those aren't the good things. Let's talk about the great things. His vertical at almost 40 was elite. His broad jump over 10 was elite. 40-yard dash was elite, put him in the top echelon at 4.37. His 20-yard split at 2.53, elite. 10-yard split at 1.45, elite. His shuttle at 4.27 was below average. He didn't do the three-cone. Here's a guy that Bucks interviewed. His average draft position is fourth round. I think this is a guy that gives you some special teams value. He also, with his speed, it can stretch the field, and maybe that's something that Grizzard is looking for. I know he's looking for another fast wide receiver that can get down the field. The good thing about Felton is that he's going to slip in the draft a little bit because of how deep this draft is. But this guy does have great speed, good hands. But again, I think he needs a route tree. I think he needs to work on his route tree, like what he's going to put on tape. But as far as his burst off the line, his quickness, his ability to get open, you can't teach that. He's got that already. He's got that in spades. So what he needs to do right now is learn a route tree and bring special teams value. And then when he does get open on those two or three times a game where his number gets called, he's got to make the catch and get down the field. Again, the Bucks interviewed him. He's got a fourth round grade right now. The next guy is Tedz Johnson out of Oregon, 5'10", 4'4", 5'40". I think the 40 time really hurt him because this guy is the Energizer Bunny on the field. I'm assuming that we can get a lot of information from Bucky Irving on Tedz Johnson, but this guy is unbelievably on film. So without the athletic testing, if you just watch film, he's really, really good and fun to watch. He weighs 150 pounds, guys. 150 pounds. That's little. But when you watch him, no one really gets a hand on him. Like it's very hard to tackle him. He doesn't take a lot of direct hits. This guy, to me, is very interesting. I think he's going to be... I mean, he could be one of those guys that's like the gadget players that the Chicago Bears used to have or the San Diego Chargers you have. It could be like a Dave Meggett kind of guy. We'll see how that goes. He had 83 receptions for 900 yards. He had 10 touchdowns. He's just so fun to watch on film. The guy just gets open, gets the ball, changes direction super quick. Just like, it's funny, he does remind me a little bit of Bucky Irving the way he does that. He's devastating on option routes from the slot. So when the ball's hiked and you kind of do the fake to the running back, you kind of come out of there and then you kind of do a flip to him when he does those little wide receiver screens, it's pretty deadly. I mean, it's like when you watch it, you're like, okay, this thing is wide open. So play action, you throw it to Tez, and the guy can take it up the field. He's electric, acceleration, change of direction. His yards after catch were unbelievable. Against zone, he's a very difficult guy to get to the ground. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be really good at blocking. So let's throw that out there right now. He's not going to be terrific in the run game. The thing is that he does get downfield, even though he didn't show really terrific top-end speed. He does, on film, get open and get down the field. It's just, I guess, this is one where the athletic profile, to me, doesn't match the player on the field, except that he's just little. Hand size, he does have 9-inch hands to be so little. Arm length is 30 inches, but again, his height and weight are last in the RAS score. His vertical at 37 put him in elite. Broad jump over 10, elite. 40-yard dash, he was below average at the 4.51. 20-yard split, below average. 10-yard split at 1.58, below average. But here's where he was elite. And when I say elite, top of the class. Three cone, 6.65, and the shuttle at 4.15. All this does for a wide receiver is show you, in space, you do not want to be near this guy as a defender. You don't want to have to guard this guy in space because he's going to get open. And these elite categories will show you he's going to be very difficult to get his hands on when he comes out of the backfield and these little wide receiver screens and these little bubble screens. He has a fourth to fifth round grade on him, and the Bucks did interview him. He has some special teams value as well. Very interesting prospect, actually. Just very, very little. Jalen Lane, 5'10". Wide receiver, 191 pounds out of Virginia Tech, ran a 4.3 40, had 38 receptions for 500 yards and two touchdowns, explosive straight line speed, dangerous after the catch with contact balance. He has terrific middle of the field, and he finds spots in zone coverage. He's pretty good at that. He has game-changing return ability north and south. He returns punts and kicks fearlessly and returns them for what? Touchdowns. So let's make sure that we go through his RAS score. His RAS score at 9.56 is one of the best in the wide receiver class. 10-inch hands, 32-inch arms. His height and weight were below average. His bench at 14 was average. This is where it gets interesting. His vertical at 40 was elite, one of the best verticals in the entire draft. His broad at 11, one of the best in the entire draft. 40-yard dash at 4.34, one of the best in the entire draft. 20-yard split at 2.52, the best. 10-yard split at 1.53, the best. His shuttle at 4.12 was elite. His three-cone at 6.75 was elite. So here's a guy that, as you can see, when you get in space with him, he can break away from you. He's going to be a very tough guy to get your hands on him. As a special teams player, he's one of the best special teams returners in the draft. The Bucs, guess what, sat down and interviewed him. I'm seeing a pattern here with wide receivers in the Bucs. They seem to have brought in these kick returners, and they brought them in for formal interviews. His draft projection is the fifth round. So here's a guy, special teams value as a returner, but then, again, like I said, Grizzard. This guy adds vertical speed elite right away. Spatial awareness right away. Right off the line of scrimmage, bunch screens right away. Wide receiver screens right away. Automatically becomes your kick and punt returner. So Jalen Lane is a guy to keep an eye on, Bucks fans. So is Tez Johnson, another guy that we just talked about out of Oregon. Now, I'm done with those wide receivers. I want to talk about a guy that I met at the Combine that I absolutely loved, and that's LaJonte Wester out of Colorado. 5'10", 163 pounds, ran a 4.4, 6.40, had 74 catches, 931 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Every single time I saw this guy catch the ball, the defenders were in panic trying to get him to the ground. The guy makes unbelievable catches. I think he played at Florida A&M. He was a star there and then transferred to Colorado when Deion took over. This guy is unbelievable. I don't know how he's going to fare in the NFL because he's just little. And the little guys don't always make it. But I can tell you right now, this guy plays with a lot of heart and a lot of energy. When I interviewed him, I personally interviewed him. He told me, I'm a dog. I'm the guy you want in the fight. Put me out there with the big guys. I've been the littlest guy in the field since I was a little guy, right? Even a smaller guy. When I started playing in peewee football, I was the smallest guy in the field. When I was in high school, I was the smallest guy in the field. When I was in college, I was the smallest guy in the field. And guess what? I excelled at every single position and became a star. And he's absolutely right. I wouldn't bet against this guy finding an NFL spot. Right now, he's seventh round, possibly a free agent signee. But here's why I want the Bucks to look at him. Besides the fact that I just went over, the fact that he's a terrific route runner, his hands are elite. The guy's hands are absolutely elite. He's unbelievable. But here's where this is where it is. His start-stop ability is one of the best in the draft. He had several touchdowns last year returning the football. So the guy is an amazing kick returner, punt returner. The guy played special teams since peewee. This guy is an interesting guy. He's dangerous return man, explosive. You're not going to get your hands on him right away. He's fearless. But again, we're talking about a guy this DeSean Jackson size. And DeSean Jackson's one in a million. Let me just put it to you that way with his size. I think LaJonte Wester, Jason Light, I know you listen to my podcast. Do me a favor. If the guy doesn't get drafted, right, and if we're not going to draft him in this afternoon, let's say we're not going to draft him, can you please invite him to camp? This is a guy that I think could offer something to our team, offer something to our special teams. And I think that there's something about him that's just special that can't be measured by the combine, can't be measured with some athletic score. The guy has excelled at every time he's been in the game. And then he was one of Shedeur Sanders' favorite targets at Colorado. He showed up in big games. I really, really like him. Thought he was just, I think he deserves a chance. I hope you enjoyed my wide receiver breakdown. I know I did. I hope I didn't go too long, Steve. I think I'm at 50 minutes. Yeah, Steve's going to kill me. So please visit us at BillCurryFord.com. See all of our amazing employee specials right now. You can buy pricing better than before tariffs. Our interest rates are better than prior to inflation. And the best thing about Curry is you don't have to worry. Just drive Curry. Call and set up your amazing free pickup and delivery and mobile service. You guys are going to love that. And follow Bill Curry at Bill Curry Tampa and all your social media sites. Please leave me reviews at Best in Class on Apple and Podbeam. I want to say thank you again for all the amazing support that I get for the breakdowns of my players. And a shout out to all of the Bucks fans that continue to send me questions at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. I'll see you guys next time for running backs. I'm out.